Jason Barnes. Plumber here in town. I grew up in Washington, Kansas. Lived there until I was 18, graduated, went to Manhattanville Tech, got my degree in heating and air conditioning. Worked for a year in Beatrice and got done there. Worked for a couple years for Hull Brothers doing road construction at the plant. And I got on, offered a job at the local hospital here in town in 96, and lived in an apartment on Main Street for the first year, and then bought a house, and I've been in that same house since 97, and worked at the hospital until 2010, and then broke off, and I was doing kind of on the side plumbing, and then just started doing it full time then. So,
my name is Todd Fry. I too come from Washington County. Grew up in Haddam, Kansas, a small town over on the far side of Washington County. Coming to Marysville quite a bit as a kid to go to the movies and things. It was the big city at that time. Doesn't feel as big now that I've lived here for a couple of years, but I graduated from North Central High School in Morrowville, went to college at Baker University in Baldwin City, went to school for political science. Always something that kind of interested me was how government works. So after that, I came back to Washington County with my wife and family, worked for Bradford Built in Washington County for a handful of years. Came over and worked for Landall Corporation for a handful of years. Then I shifted to the nonprofit space for a year. Turns out that's a wonderful thing, but not fit for everyone. So I decided I needed to come back and kind of stick to the rural jobs and kind of the opportunities here locally. So I've been in that role since then, been on council since 2011.
Chris Rader, I currently live in Ward 1. I didn't grow up here, wasn't born here. I grew up in Great Bend, Kansas, a little bit bigger city than here, I think, by now. Graduated high school in 97, moved to Utah, and that's where I joined the Marine Corps. Did 4 years of the Marine Corps, served in Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom. After I retired from the Marine Corps, I moved to Emporia, Kansas, worked at engine building department down there, built Detroit Diesel Motors, and then I met my wife and we moved up here, and that's how I came to Marysville. Lived here ever since, worked at a lot of different places, a lot of electrical places, plumbing places, what have you, and just loved it here and want to raise my kids here. It's a great place to live and just want to be part of something great and make some good changes. Thank you.
Parker Price, lived here 44 years, been born and raised two kids here. Let's see here, job history. Worked at Walmart for a while. When I was 16, worked at Temps Disposal a couple of years. Went to GP for 12 years, and I've been at the county for 12 years. County, the job, kind of whatever's needed to be done. I got nominated to be on the council. I didn't get elected because the last person quit. And the reason I'm going back for it is there's a couple things to finish up with the lagoons and the screening process to make the sewer system better and to come in compliance with KDHE regulations. And there's some other changes and some better roads that need to be done in this town. We just have to figure out how to do them.
Kevin Throm, born and raised here in Marysville, Kansas. Been here 59 years. Schooling, went to Marysville High School, then I come to School of Hard Knocks here and been at Temps Disposal for 30 years. My wife, Robin, works at Walmart. She's been there 35 years. I have two kids. And like I said, with Temps Disposal, I'm all over town and get to see a lot of things and I know what's going on, so.
Hello, my name's Sheree Ferris. I spent 18 years working in the County Treasurer's Office. Probably recognized me from there. Before that, I worked at Walmart. We used to own Little Haps. I'm a widow. I have two grown children that graduated from Marysville High School. I'm running for office because I want to get involved and just didn't know how to get involved. I'm in Ward 4. That's about it.
This week is our final week for our city administrator. Austin St. John is leaving Marysville. And we'll be finding a new city administrator. What are your priorities with regard to that?
Well, I think the city administrator role is not only kind of the figurehead of the city, but kind of where the buck stops for a lot of our projects and what we kind of hope to accomplish. I think this is a challenging but good opportunity for us to try to find a candidate who not only can, you know, write a great budget, can keep on top of the numbers, but can also build a team. And by building a team, I mean a team of staff, get all the departments, the department heads, a lot of personalities on the same page, hopefully working on projects to kind of help each other out. We've had a pretty good luck doing that, but there's of course always room for growth and doing that team building. But probably the biggest single thing is it's going to be a chance for us to have a little bit of a reset with the community. A lot of people feel like they're disconnected, or their concerns are maybe being overlooked, or they aren't being listened to, or you know, they don't feel like they're part of their government, and the city of government is supposed to be representative of those people. So I think it'll be a good chance for us to do that reset.
I'm the furthest thing from a politician as you can get, so pardon me if my answer is not politically correct, but you know, city administrator has a lot of hats to wear. There's a lot of things that they're going to be responsible for, so we definitely need someone who can tackle all those things. They need to be in every location, making sure things are getting done, making sure there's follow-through with projects. A lot of things get started, they just need to get finished as well. It's good to start things, but follow-through is really important. We need someone with the capability and the knowledge to do all these things, to be able to, you know, have a good plan, get it started, find the right people for the job, and get it completed. It's going to be a hard order to fill, I think. City administrators probably aren't the biggest job people are looking for, so I'm sure the pickings are going to be pretty slim, but I think that when we do find someone, we just need to make sure that they have the ability to do the job, are going to be here for a while, want somebody who wants to be a part of the community, not just be here and be the administrator, but be an active role in the community, want to stay here, want to raise their family here, and I think that's important as well. Thank you.
He does have lots of hats to wear. I will say that about the city administrator. He's going to need to be good with the budget, but he's also going to need to be good with the guys that we have. We have a great group of guys, and they do a very good job at what they have to work with. The other thing he's going to have to learn how to do is he's going to also have to tell City Council no. And City Council can't come in and just spend all the money that they want to spend doing projects that were not budgeted. That's part of a problem that we're having. There's things getting done that weren't budgeted because people are putting peer pressure on and they're putting safety issue on and they're trying to get things done. It's not budgeted, and when the money's gone, the money's gone. And when the money's gone, that means that we have to do something different. So he has to fill some of that. And he's going to also have to be your public head that everybody can get along with and talk to.
What I'm looking for in the new city administrator is someone that's more outgoing, get out and visit with the people some more. You know, that's one of the things I've heard some negative stuff about is he doesn't come around and see the business people enough. So someone to get out and see the people, work well with our group that we have. Our employees are magnificent. We just need to keep them in touch with all of them and the work that they do. City staff, same way. They work great with them. And like Parker said, the budget's a big thing that we need to work with. You know, make sure if we have something budgeted, it's budgeted, and if it's not, it's an object we need to put on the budget for the following year. That's all I have.
Every one of you guys really said really good things. I do think somebody that is that high up hired needs to be able to get along with everybody and make sure that he listens to everybody's opinions. I remember years ago that the city fought hiring a city administrator, and I think since we have had one, it has worked out to what we didn't think we needed, and we did. So hopefully he can do everything what these guys have said. I want him to be very qualified to listen to everything from the lower scale of what needs to be done to what high priorities are. And sometimes lower scale stuff gets overlooked because it's not a priority for everybody, but it is important to anybody that lives in Marysville, Kansas to have their thoughts and their feelings heard. Thank you.
I probably my first priority is that we have a person that is good at putting the budget together and then doing all the work that happens in the office. I also want somebody that if there is an issue with one of the crews, that will go out and physically eyes on the ground, see what is going on, what the guys need, what they're running into. I think it's very important that the city administrator has good relations with all the employees and knows what is happening and is not just, the office part is important and has to get done, but also is on the ground seeing what is going on around Marysville with the crews. I think that is very important to kind of build that relationship with your employees if you want to get stuff done. Otherwise, probably a strong personality to deal with council, like someone mentioned, would be important. And somebody that is not afraid to give us maybe bad news or bad information if that's what we need to hear, so we can make the proper decisions. So kind of what I'm looking for. Thank you.
Chamber Main Street, Marysville Chamber Main Street, is pursuing a historic designation downtown. Your thoughts on opportunities and challenges downtown, and perhaps specifically with opportunities and challenges with the city-owned Kester Block, the downtown district historic designation, Kester Block.
The Kester Block, I know, has been a big priority on the city's plans. I've heard it talked about in several city council meetings. I know things are hard to fill, you know, certain people want certain things. But as far as the historical value of things go, historical areas do great wonders for things. It attracts a lot of people. It helps bring people that maybe normally wouldn't come to these areas. But on the other side of that, it also creates challenges because there are certain rules that everybody has to follow when they're doing repairs and stuff. There are certain licenses, requirements, and all these things that have to happen in order to make things better. So that, in that end, it could, you know, cost a little bit more to do those jobs and do that work. But overall, I think doing this is a good thing. You know, housing's a shortage. There's a lot of buildings in this town in the historical part that have empty lofts upstairs that could be nice, affordable housing for people, you know, single men or, you know, single moms, even smaller families. So I think it'd be a really great value to the city to do this. And, That's it for me. Thanks.
Historical side. The historical and Kester House. Well, let's be honest about it. It's costing a lot of money, and it's not making any money to pay for it. So we're going to have to figure it out. And it's not slightly costing a lot of money. It's a lot of money. I encourage everyone here to come in and ask about it. Get the little reality. As far as fixing them up, hey, I hope it works out, and I hope there's some grants to help pay for it, because it's going to be very expensive, so we're going to have to figure it out. Now, it's very early stages. I believe this week they were in checking buildings and looking at buildings. Maybe even tomorrow, I think there's one involved. So a lot of our buildings need a little bit more help than what we've been able to give them, and it's a specialty type of help. It's not just anybody can do it. So we need to figure some of that out, and we need to figure out where we're going to fit that in the budget.
As far as the Kester House, like Parker said, the budget and stuff, with what comes in there for income, what we're paying out for taxes, there's a huge gap in that. We're going to have to seal that up somehow, raise the rent on buildings, or come up with another way to start funding some of that down there. And as far as historical housing, I think it's a fabulous idea for downtown. I mean, the second, third story of those buildings are there. They're just sitting there. They've been like that for years downtown. But the problem is, when we get all these people in here, if we put 30 people in one block, that's 30 cars on Main Street possibly. So we're going to have to come up with a parking lot or some place to offset. So here in Marysville, Kansas, in the wintertime, it does snow. And, you know, when we clean streets and stuff, we always ask everybody to have their cars off the streets and stuff, so we're just going to have to have a place for them to park, you know, on certain days so we can get streets clean and everything. And like I said, I think it's a great deal. Like I said, I'd like to see it go, but we'll see what happens here in the long run. So
I think the Kester House is a beautiful building, and it's an asset to Marysville. It brings tourism here. We that live here go to other communities to see their tourism places. Things need to be maintained as they need to be maintained, not wait until they fall apart. They just need to be upkeep every day if that's what has to be done. And as far as the housing downtown, I think that's a neat idea. People can walk downtown, walk the streets, look at things, and they're comfortable living downtown. But like Kevin said, parking would be a huge problem, but a lot of people would probably park their car someplace and walk, because you can walk just about any place in town. Thank you.
Okay. As some people pointed out, I mean, it is concerning the Kester block itself. I mean, every year we lose money on those buildings downtown. Some of them we turn a slight profit. We're not getting enough revenue. We're not at market rate. We're not getting enough revenue to do the repairs that are needed to that block to maintain that so that they don't enter kind of a state of disrepair. So that's an issue that we're having some meetings about and some discussions to figure out how to solve that problem. As far as the historic district downtown, I went to one meeting. I had some of my questions answered, other ones weren't. I'd like to hear more before I would make up my mind on it. I do have a lot of concerns. I think from the business side, it would make sense, the tax credits to do improvements to your business. I'm not a huge fan of getting all the living spaces up above just because of the issues with parking. I get enough calls right now about pets. All right, I'm done. Thank you. I go on for a long time on that.
I think we all agree that the current situation with the Kester block is unsustainable. It is an asset. I think we all kind of agree it's an asset to the community, and it's been a challenge for the time we've been the stewards of it. But I believe it or not, the city does some things really well, but being a landlord isn't necessarily one of them. It's challenging under the best of circumstances. I feel like that's a definite opportunity for us to explore, maybe a management company, maybe outsourcing some of that to a third party that can handle that, that's well suited for that, and can utilize a lot of those upstairs spaces. The Kester block alone has a lot of wonderful upstairs spaces that are being underutilized, and you can go visit communities our size, other places, and see what they're doing. And you know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. This whole project with the historic district, it's amazing to me we haven't gone down this road before. I'm sure it'll have challenges. The key for us is to make sure that everybody's communicating. The city, all the stakeholders who live downtown, all of those that might be interested in that housing. I think it's a great opportunity we definitely need to keep pursuing.
Infrastructure priorities, including housing. What are your priorities as far as infrastructure?
Okay, infrastructure priorities right now to start with is the lagoon project is started. We have a screening project that will follow up after that, and those need to be taken care of. Housing, there's numerous lots that have been identified as infill lots, and some, I think there's one being built on right now off the top of my head. We need housing, but the city's not going to be the builder of the housing. We're not good landlords, that's the truth. So there's plenty of them that have been identified, and it would be that people, if you get a small one, you need to come in and talk to people about changing regulations on it a little bit. That's the two that I'm on right now, and then we still need to work on a daycare operation. I thought we had one started, but that seems to have stalled and died. So we need to figure that one out again. And then we need to start working on roads and figuring out how we're going to pay for them, because there's only X amount of dollars in the budget for roads.
As far as infrastructure, like Parker said, we're working on the new lagoons right now, working on that. We're also working up in the kind of the center part of town up here to east of 15th on some, redoing some sewer lines, and that's done. We will, the next year, we'll complete the cured-in-place lining on the sewer lines. And as always, we're always working on water lines. We're tearing them up, putting in new valves and stuff around town, expanding, making better loops so we can get better water pressure and stuff around town for everybody. The streets are a big concern here in Marysville. You know, we got so many brick streets. How do you smooth them out? You know, at thousands of dollars a block, you're laying two streets on top of each other, pulling all the brick up, relaying a concrete street, and someone's got to lay all the brick back in. And the old cobblestone brick that we have here in Marysville are not uniform thickness. So you got to add and subtract sand. You just can't just put it in there. So, and then the outlining streets in Marysville, dust control, what are we going to do with them? You know, there's a lot to do, but like Parker said, there's only so much in the budget that we can put around, you know, when you're covering the whole town, we're done. So thank you.
I'm not real familiar with a lot of this, but I do think that Marysville has pretty much taken care of sidewalks and curbs, and they've tried to maintain different things, widen sidewalks, which is important, and it's probably costly to do that, but it's helping the community bring different people in of different handicaps or whatever. They can have places to live, and we do need a little bit more living spaces in this town. Rent is extremely high. I mean, I don't know, as far as building structures, I don't know what we can do with it, but I don't know much about this. I'm sorry.
I mean, a lot of the different projects we've got going have been talked about by the other people. One of my focuses, and it has always been, and it kind of fell apart, I was hoping there was movement, is a daycare center, and I don't know if that falls underneath infrastructure. I think sometimes we prioritize, or it's fun to work on the things, you know, the events and things like that, and those are nice things, but I think sometimes we lose sight of making improvements for the people, what they need on a day-to-day basis, the people that live here, like daycare for their children so that they can go to work. You know, improvements to the street that they drive on every day and the roads. I'd like to see more focus on that. Like they have said, streets, we'd like to do a lot more streets. There's just not enough money in the budget. If we do a big project, we'll have to borrow some money and probably raise some taxes to do that. But it needs to be done. So that's all I got.
Like previously mentioned, we've had, you know, good success in working on our water and sewer. I would even count our cell phone tower approval here a while back as being an infrastructure improvement. That's been a big concern to a lot of people, including myself. But, you know, we have an issue with a lot of infrastructure, and streets would definitely fall under this, where we like to, we plan to make plans, we make plans, but we don't execute. So, yeah, we may not have money in the budget for something, and we can't just, you know, will it out of thin air, but I think what we need to do is focus on building a plan that we can actually execute on. Not a dream plan necessarily, not always going to be as fast as we want to get it done, but we need to make measured success a priority, because then people will hopefully see that measured success and feel like, you know, we are actually doing work. We also need to see what we can do about making sure it's all around town. I know a lot of people feel like all the money's getting spent in one area versus another, but you know, we're all in this boat together. So I think working on streets and some of those projects that will benefit the community at large should be a priority.
Well, I guess the trouble with going last is all the good answers are already taken, so I'll do my best. You know, living here is a great thing. Like I said, I love living here, and I'll be here the rest of my life. I have seen a lot of improvements. The lagoon thing is important. You know, sewer's got to go somewhere, right? So we got to make sure as we grow, we can handle all that. The sewer linings, there's a really good thing. It's going to cut down on all the repairs people have to do for the sewers and backups in their basements and things. So these are all really good things. New fire hydrant lines going in all over the place. That's going to help people in an emergency. Their house starts on fire. Well, now they have a fire hydrant there that's going to operate and get things taken care of. So these are all wonderful things that have been going on as far as infrastructure. But again, the streets are in a bad way. I know it's a huge concern for this community. And if it's not in the budget, those of us in charge need to find out a way to get it in the budget, because, you know, school buses travel down the roads, single mothers with their babies in the backseat. These are things that need to be taken care of. So if we have to take the priority away from someone else, somewhere else to get that done, I think we should get it done.
Before the question, they said we need to be leaders, not responders. So with that mindset, how would you help increase revenue, build the tax base, and encourage population growth? Increase revenue, the tax base, and population growth.
That's a great question. You know, revenue, the first thing we don't want to do is raise taxes. I mean, everyone's taxed to death on everything. Taxes on the property, food, everything. So as far as revenue, you know, we're going to have to come up with something to draw some people back into town, more members coming to town, more people coming to town, more housing. When you get more housing, I mean, it all builds on top of housing and bringing people to town. The more people we bring to town, the more revenue it generates on tax base and everything else, sales tax, all that there. So as far as getting people to move back, you know, we've got just a few major industries here in town. We got Landles, we got the school, Tension, Valley Vet, some of the big ones, the railroad, but, you know, we're going to have a big major industry come to town that's going to draw somebody here to Marysville. Is what's going to probably have to come down to. And I know we're already drawing from miles away from Marysville, but, you know, if we could get some of them people that's living 30 miles from town to move to Marysville, but there again, the rent in Marysville's high and everything, so things we'll have to work on. See, my time's up, so.
That's a difficult question. It's hard to increase revenue if you're not taking care of the revenue you already have in town. We have quite a few businesses that have come to town, and we need to support them. We need to be there making their business thrive. And then the taxes, no, nobody wants to be taxed anymore. We just, you know, our community is small. We can't afford the high rent. We don't have the wages as far as they were talking about the teachers' wages. The wages aren't there for what everything is costing everybody. So raising taxes, I just think we need to try to work and develop what we already have and work with the people that have the businesses that bring in tax revenue to Marysville instead of trying to increase our size, you know, to 6,000 people want to come here because it's a 3,500, you know, number. We don't want a big city. People that do want that big city will move to the big city. Thank you.
I mean, I think that in order to get people to move here, I mean, the main thing is housing. Obviously, we don't have enough affordable or quality housing, I don't feel. That ties into some of the road improvements. There's an argument to be made if we would improve 11th, 12th, and Keystone, and those roads were good, then people would be more incentivized to develop and build in that area. We have another development on the north part of town at Hartley Ridge. So those are things that need to happen. But I'm telling you, in order to do those projects, taxes will have to be raised. There's no money in the budget to do those projects with the funds that we have. And anybody that tells you that, they haven't looked at the budget and they're not being upfront with you. I'd love to say that we got a pile of money just sitting there. They're choosing not to do those projects, but we would have to have additional revenue to do those. Otherwise, it would be daycare. You can't move to town if you don't have a daycare to take your kid to so you can go to work. Those kind of improvements are things that we need to do, and it will take money to do those things.
I think we're blessed to have the sales tax revenues that we have. That's a lot of money coming into our community that's not necessarily by members of our community. You can lean on that too heavily, though, and it is irregular. I think the way to build revenues and build success and build the community is by leaning into what we have. And by that I mean we have downtown buildings that aren't being, you know, the upstairs aren't being used for housing. We've got lots of buildings in town that maybe are just storage. There's not enough opportunities for people who want to exercise entrepreneurship. I think there's a lot of people who want to do good things. They want to grow businesses, but they feel like they don't have the tools, that the challenges are insurmountable, whether that's buildings are too expensive, taxes are too high, nobody's greasing the rails for them. I think it's takes more than the city itself to do it. It takes the county, it takes Partnership for Growth, it takes a lot of organizations to lean into that to help us build that up. But I think if we can foster that positivity that you can build it here, you can grow it here, I think that would be the best way for us to grow the community and its opportunities.
Money, my favorite subject. Not really. Increasing revenue, we need to support the businesses that we have. A lot of our businesses bring a ton of revenue into the city. A lot of people are doing little side hustles out of their homes and stuff, but if we provide a road and a way to get them in a building downtown and open a legitimate business, give them the tools, give them the ability to turn that little side job into a great business, then we can bring even more revenue in. Housing, again, big thing. We need affordable housing. If people can't afford to live here, they're definitely not going to be able to afford to open up a business and bring more revenue in here. I'm definitely not a fan of higher taxes. I know taxes are important. They're a thing that, you know, cities and governments run on, and they always will. But I'm very leery about raising taxes on that.
Housing is a big thing, and daycare is a big thing. We have to start solving them. And I guess I'll be the bad guy because nobody else wants to say it. We have a lot of things where you don't pay taxes because you get 10 years free. Maybe we're going to have to start looking at some of them items. There's a lot of things out here that are not paying any taxes on stuff. That's a lot of money not coming in. As far as supporting businesses, yeah, you need to support businesses. You also need to shop local. Easier said than done. You know, I don't have all the answers, but maybe some more community meetings, maybe some more directions that way with actual discussions, maybe we can get there better.
Okay, I think we had that question. Cherie, the next one's up to you. If you don't want to go the full 60, some of these are shorter type questions, so you'll use what you want to. But this is about code enforcement. On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is code enforcement?
I would say code enforcement should possibly be around an 8 because there's a reason that somebody isn't following it. We need to find out why that code isn't being followed by that person. They are set there for a standard, but you've got to look at why the person or business or whatever it is isn't following that code. There may be a personal thing. There may be a structural thing. They may be tax thing. We just need to give them a little bit of leeway.
I'd say yeah, probably an 8 or 9. We've made a lot of progress, I think, on trying to clean up Marysville, and it's been difficult. And if you've been watching the meetings, almost every meeting we have multiple resolutions and condemnations, but we've tried to get people to clean up blighted buildings. We've tried to get them to clean up properties that a lot of times have been a mess for years. There have been I've got a lot of angry phone calls. I got a letter in the mail myself about some stuff that needed cleaned up. But I think we're making progress. It's difficult because people get upset, and I'm the first person that I'll clean stuff up, but you tell me what I got to do, and my hair kind of goes up, and I tend to get kind of grouchy about it. And a lot of people are like that, and then usually you calm down and you go, yeah, maybe that does look kind of bad, and you'll clean it up. It's difficult, but I think we're making progress. So,
yeah, at risk of calling everything a 10, I guess it's a 10 in that it's everything's important that we address and that we work on it. But that being said, I don't think code enforcement means cracking the whip or throwing the book. Almost never is that required. It's more of a, how can we improve this? How can we have a conversation around this? You know, what are the concerns? How can we ameliorate those concerns? To Jason's point, you know, I've been afraid a time or two if I left something in my driveway a couple days, I'm like, am I going to get a letter? Now, probably not, but the fact that I think about it, and I think that's part of it. People need to have that thought process, like what little things can I do? How can I show a little bit of pride? How can I keep things looking decent? How would I feel if I was the neighbor or whomever? So I think it's important. I think it's something we're going to continue to work on because obviously improvement can be made and we're moving in the right direction. But more than anything, I think that's having the conversation about what we want to be as a community and to neighbors, as neighbors to each other.
Putting a number on code enforcement, I mean, if I say a 1, somebody's going to be mad. If I say a 10, another person's going to be mad. Code enforcement is important. When somebody's issues become a problem, they bring bugs or rats or insects or snakes or hazards for children in the neighborhood. So code enforcement is definitely an important issue. And it just living in the city, that's just something you have to deal with. When I moved into the city, it's the first time I've ever lived in a city. But I was in the military, and one thing I learned in the military, Special Marine Corps, attention to detail, everything's perfect. You know, so I don't know if it's a matter of pride for me or what, but I really try my best. You know, when I lived out in the country, I didn't care what my grass looked like. I'd mow it till it was short and keep the bugs away. In town, you better bet I'm seeding, I'm putting fertilizer, you know. I'm doing my best to make sure my neighbors don't have to deal with an issue because of me. Code enforcement is going to be something you have to deal with in the city. The way you go about it is another thing. So I think as long as we do it in a professional and kind manner, give people the opportunity to fix the things, make sure you understand where they're coming from. If they have an issue, then I think we can get it solved. Thanks.
Code enforcement's a 10 out of a 10. It's very simple. You don't need to live next door to a neighbor that doesn't want to clean up. It's not fair to you. You work too hard on your house, you pay your taxes, you keep your yard mowed. It's not fair to live next door to that. Then, when that person doesn't clean up, now it's costing you money because now you're sending your taxpayer dollars in there to clean it up, and they got to haul it off. And when you start putting time and money and truck usage, equipment usage, you guys start figuring it up, you'd be amazed how expensive it is to clean up a piece of property. It's outrageously expensive. I also don't think that your neighbor should have to deal with smelling the garbage or listening to the dogs that bark constantly. I also don't think that your neighbor should have to come to City Hall and beg for help because the rats are invading their house because somebody won't clean up their yard. It's not that complicated. Everybody's busy. Everybody here is busy, but you made time to come here because it was important. It's not that hard to mow your yard. It's not that hard to clean it up. It's really not.
I'm a 9 to a 10 on this subject. You know, it does need to be done. We want Marysville to look great when people come into town. You know, we've made a lot of progress in town this year. And there's a lot to go yet. But, you know, people say, well, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. Well, you know, it doesn't always take time and money. Ask a neighbor. Ask a friend. There's organizations that will come help you clean up. You just got to get a hold of the right people. Don't lay it all on your back. Make a phone call to City Hall. They can get you probably in touch with somebody. There's other ways to do it without doing it and spending your money yourself if you don't have it. I know Marysville here is an older community, and a lot of people don't have the funds to do that. So we can work it out and get around to what we need to do. So.
All right, Jason, we're back to you. Audience question. Seems there's a disconnect between residents and city council. Many may not feel heard or connected. How will you help bridge that gap, connecting residents, connecting leadership?
I don't know. I mean, I have people call me all the time. My number's on the website. It's also on the side of my truck. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of if somebody wants to, and they do quite frequently. And I always listen to them. If there's no, I mean, I'm going to be completely upfront if they call me. And if there's, I mean, all the rules that we have to apply the same to everybody, whether they are a friend to me or have a relationship with me. There's a process, and everybody has to go through that same process regardless of who they are. Now, people don't always like to hear that, but I think that that's what people want from government, is it to be fair and even across the board. If we can't do something on a particular issue, I'm going to tell you that you can't. I'm not going to tell you that I can fix your road with no money, or I can do dust control on it.
I think a lot of it's got to be the approachability factor. I get calls and emails, some of them happy and pleasant, a lot of them not, and that's just part of the job. But I think the way you make people feel heard and connected is you shoot them straight. You tell them if you can, you know, if this is a project that's not going to happen, it's not, but you explain why. You explain how that can be changed if they want to work on that, if we can work on that for them and work together. I think a lot of it is like showing people there's a process in place to affect change, to be involved. And if you can be honest with them and tell them, you know, I don't know the answer, but then go find the answer. It's something I preach to my kids. I preach to people all the time, which is it's okay not to know, but it's not okay not to care. So go find the answers, help, you know, get back to people. They'll respect that you tried, that you're being responsive government, and they'll hopefully want to be involved, tell other people to be involved, and kind of create that culture of positivity.
Communication, number one. When I was getting ready to get on the ballot for a council member, I went around to get signatures, and people lived here 20 years said they've never had a council member come to their door to introduce themselves. So communication is number one. You can't vote for what people want if you don't know what they want. If you're not communicating with them, if you're not talking to them, if you're not asking them what they need, you're never going to find out what they need. So for me, number one is communication. And like Mayor Barnes and Todd Harris said, you know, you may not be able to fix everything the way people want it fixed, but you at least have to dig in, do your homework, go do some research, find out what you can and can't do. You know, you don't come into this job knowing how the city council works or runs. It's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort. I think if you do that, you can take back and get rid of some of this disdain that we have here.
Communication is going to be number one, but communication is a two-way street. You can talk to us and we can talk to you. You can't sit there and I'll do it again. You can't sit there on Facebook and complain and moan and groan and everything like that and expect one of us to understand what you're talking about or if you're even talking to us, because it doesn't work that way. Number one, I don't have Facebook. So everybody writes a bunch of stuff on there. They complain a bunch. I don't know what you're talking about because I'm not on there. So it's a two-way street. And Monday night meetings are open. First part of it, there's not very many people that show up. Hardly any. Usually can count on one hand. Takes about two fingers. So that's the other part of that is, too, get involved with your community a little bit. That's what we did. I mean, we've all got on a ballot to be voted in by peers. So we got involved. We put it forward. Community needs to do a little bit better than that and have a little bit more communication with us.
It's a great thing, community involvement. You know, when I get a phone call, generally I get in my car, I drive up to see what's going on. You know, you spend about 5 minutes talking to the person who called you. A lot of problems go away real quick. You know, you explain to them why you got this letter or why you didn't and what the problem is. And, you know, they just want someone to listen to you. And you got to take what they say, come down here, talk to City Hall, see what we can get done, get the problem fixed. So, you know, so what? It's 10 o'clock at night. You still get in your car. Your neighbor's dog's barking. You go see what the problem is. You make a few phone calls. You know, things can be resolved, but you got to get out and see the public and see what their needs are. So,
okay, we all know it is communication. You've got to be there for the person. Usually that person is not going to come to you until they're frustrated, and they're just frustrated. They've waited. They don't know if anything can happen. What they're going to say is going to be heard. You have to be there. And like Kevin said, they're just wanting to air out their feelings and try to get some results with the problem. And if you push it aside, that problem's just going to get bigger and bigger. So we all have to work together, even our community or somebody else's community. It doesn't matter where you are. Somebody has a problem someplace, and we can share that information. Even if you don't go to your council person, you can go to somebody. You have to be heard and not let it get to an extreme to where now you're angry and nothing anybody says is going to work for you at that point.
Okay, Todd, I think we're up to you, and this is probably the last one that I'm going to ask, and we'll go back to the school board to stay on a timeline. Two words, and I'll just let you interpret the rest and expound. City streets.
City streets. So city streets mean a lot of things because we have a lot of city streets. For the population we have, I've got no statistics, so I'll make it up and say we've got more than about any other town for a size our population. And so that's a challenge because we've got concrete ones, we've got brick ones, we've got asphalt ones, we've got gravel ones, and we've got some that don't know because they're a patchwork quilt, and that's the problem and why I'm sure we're discussing it. We have had success in replacing some of our bad streets. We've tried to keep, Center Street, US 36, in good repair. It's going to be due again soon. Obviously, that's a thoroughfare. We've replaced some of our concrete streets that have been broken up and to the point of danger. We've tried to keep on top of most of the brick streets where the residents did want them replaced to try to, you know, do the best we can to make them safe. What we haven't done is paid enough attention to those kind of peripheral areas of the community and their street needs. Obviously, that's a sore point to the people that live there because they're paying taxes the same as everyone else, but they don't feel like that's been handled well enough. So that's our project to work on.
City streets definitely need to be fixed. I don't know what the fix is, but I sure want to crack at it, I tell you that. And going along with streets, it's alleys too. I know a lot of people have come to me about their alleys are getting torn up for waterways or whatever, and they don't get repaired to get filled with rock or whatever. So streets, alleys, definitely a necessity, and we need to figure out a way to, across the board, get it taken care of. I know there's going to be more projects that are more important than others. We have a hospital lane that, you know, the ambulance needs to drive, and obviously that's going to be more important, but we definitely need to find a way to do this.
City streets, well, we have lots of them. They need repaired. Some of them were done wrong to begin with. The other problem you have is you have to think of all the infrastructure that's underneath them. And if you're going to tear them up one time, but fix everything. So city streets get very expensive very quickly. There is no secret to how to fix them. There's no magic deal to fix them either. It's pick one and plug away at it. I'll pick the most controversial one there is right now. How about we own all of it before we worry about fixing all of it? Because we don't own a lot of it. So why would we spend your guys' tax money on something you don't own? It's that simple.
Like everyone else has said, city streets, we got them all, brick, concrete, gravel. And like Todd said, the patchwork ones that are rougher and rougher and rougher, but you know, we can just do what we can. The budget only allows us to do so many of them. So Gary, our street supervisor, does a great job of lining out what are the worst ones on his that he's got around town. And those are the high priority ones. Those are the ones we start with every year. And then, you know, the next year everything just moves up. So, you know, we rely on our guys that's out there every day working. And, you know, he brings the list to us and that's what we work off of. So.
Me, I just go to a different block, but if the street's bad, you know what, streets are bad and you avoid them. But I'm sure the budget, I'm not familiar with it or anything, but it is hard to fix a lot of streets. We have more traffic than we've ever had in this small community. So your roads are not built for that kind of traffic, and they're never going to be built for that kind of traffic. I don't know how to even fix the problems with streets. I know snow removal, maybe the equipment's too deep, maybe it's tearing up the roads. There's different things that we need to look at to repair, and patching them isn't really good, but like you said, there is things underneath, like your sewer drains and stuff like that, which could be causing erosion and problems and moving. I mean, my street, I've got a little dip. I think I'm gonna go down it one of these days, but you know, I just go around. But that's all I can say.
I mean, every year we do as much as we can with the money that we have. There are a lot of our streets that just, I mean, they've been chip and sealed to the point where it's too much chip and seal. I mean, it's alligatored underneath. They're getting to the point where they need to just be milled off and start from scratch again, which is expensive. And our guys do a good job of sealing and putting chip and seal to try and extend the life of them. But a lot of them, I mean, I think that's 30 years is a projected life of an asphalt street. And there's a lot of them that are way past the 30-year lifespan. So we need to do some more work on that. We replace, like I say, every year we do some street projects. I think 11th, 12th Keystone gets a lot more difficult to solve. If you're going to do it as a large project, then realistically there's going to be some special assessments, some taxes, tax increases, take out bonds, borrow the money, and pay it off. The other way to do it is how we had been kind of doing it, where we just do a section every couple years as we get funds, Nobody wants to hear that because that's a long 30-year process, but anyway.
Okay, we're up to wrap up. Chris, you're first. You got 1 minute.
You know, this position, I'm pretty nervous. You know, I don't do things like this. I led Marines in battle, and that was easy. Doing this is scarier than being shot at, just so you all know. But, you know, I did this because I want to show my kids you can't fix anything if you don't get off the couch and do it. And I wanted to come here, and I just want to tell you that this is a service. This is a position of service. This is not, we're powerful, and I think maybe in a lot of places that's gotten lost. But I do promise I will serve this community to the best ability that I can and do my research and everything I can do to make sure that your issues and your problems are fixed to the fullest extent of my ability. I know one man in this panel doesn't make a big difference, but one man sure can bridge gaps, bring people together, voice your concerns, and make things happen. And I just really want the ability to do that. Thank you.
Okay, 1 minute. Trying to think exactly how to wrap up 1 minute of roughly an hour and a half conversation here that we've had. We've had pretty good conversation tonight. I wish that these would continue. I also wish that everybody understood how some of the meetings worked and how some of the COMA violations work so that we wouldn't get ourselves in trouble with them. Those have happened in the past, and it's created a disconnect, but it's also created hard feelings. And it shouldn't create hard feelings. It should be simple to talk to each other. The other thing is I think more people should get involved and understand exactly where the budget is, exactly where your money's being spent, how it's being spent, and the thought process to deals. Prime example, we all talk about 7th Street Corridor over here. It'd be great for that to be done. The reality is underneath it has to be fixed first. And then the other reality is it still has to work for the businesses down here. We've had numerous plans that have been drawn up on 7th Street Corridor, and they don't work because it hasn't worked with the businesses yet. I'm sorry, I'm out of time. Sarah was waving at me.
In the minute wrap up, 7th Street Corridor, like Parker said, is a big one down there. Yeah, we'd like to see it done. It needs to be completed, don't get me wrong, but you know, by the time you run water, sewer, you got a storm sewer problem down there, getting some of that fixed up. Housing's always a big problem here in Marysville. We're gonna have to work on, rent is extremely high here in Marysville compared to other places, you know. Roads, something we're just gonna have to keep working on. A little here, a little there, till we get them done. That's all I have.
I'm pretty new at this too, so I'm really not for sure what's expected yet, but I will find out. And I just want to be there for whoever has a question or has a concern and wants to find out what needs fixed. And yes, the budget is very important. People don't understand when they're paying their taxes, they're paying for your lights, you're paying for your street service, your ambulance, more than just your road in front of your house. It's a lot of things that covers. I do have two grandchildren that still live in this town. One's an adult, but one's going to college right now. So this town is very important to me, and I'm sure my grandson's going to stay. I don't know what the granddaughter's going to do, but anyways, I want your support and any ideas that you have that you can throw at us. Just don't do it because it's a ward thing. Do it because you want to talk to somebody and get it before you get angry, and then it will get fixed a little bit sooner.
Well, I've been mayor for 4 years now, so I think people probably have an idea of how I do governor. I mean, like it or hate it. I got into government to give back to my community, and because I'm a firm believer that I think government should and can work. With all the stuff you see on TV, I think sometimes we lose sight of that, especially at the local level, it should just work. I every day I stop down at City Hall in the morning generally to find out what is going on around town or ask about anything that somebody brought to my attention the previous day or that evening. I've also made every attempt to go to every league meeting that they offer to try and just to do so I can learn to be as good of a mayor as I can possibly be for the city of Marysville. I feel that's important to continue to be educated and to follow the rules and to be as and fair and across the board as I can be. So
we spend a lot of time, we as the council, we as the community, talking about problems we have, fires that need put out. We don't spend enough time focusing on the good things that we have, the good things we do, how we can turn those into better things, how we can utilize those things to solve problems. I know a lot of people feel despair, like we don't listen, or their voices aren't heard, so they don't speak up. But I think we're lucky, all the candidates up here, and I'm speaking for school board and city, you're lucky, we're lucky to have all these people wanting to step up, who care. Whether you agree or disagree with their positions, it's great. Be part of that. Speak up to these people. Don't give up. Don't despair. I think we can, you know, improve what we have, which is a great community, and we can make it better and stronger. And being part of that would be an honor. It's been an honor for as long as I've been on council and on the other committees and groups I've served in town. So if I get your support, wonderful. But more than that, please support your community. Help make it all better together.